Good evening.
Good evening.
And it is Wednesday, and it is 7 o'clock, and Pat is back.
Here I am.
So we've been working our way through Volume 5 of the Secret Talk series by UJ Gold, and this particular volume is Work of Groups. And we start off each class with a synopsis of the elements of groupness that were culled from the previous week. And so, Pat, would you like to get us started by reading the notes that our scribe took for us, please?
These are the notes from Wednesday, October 25th, 2017, Work of Groups, Session 32. 1. Functions of a group. Working in a group gives the possibility of achieving impartiality and honesty toward performing a function, i.e., as in presenting work ideas to new beginners. 2. The solution for the situation presented in Chapter 58, G is looking for a few resourceful workers with these qualities, impartiality and honesty, is to work as a group in a team with the agreement among us that will reflect to each other the question, are you being candid, being honest? Is this the truth you're saying right now? 3, it's the group mind that leads us. The group is the self-regulatory, the governor that keeps it going. 4, any presentation in the marketplace is noisy, but in representing an institute, public business, Ivan related his experiences that if you work as a team, you can have an encapsulated space, a bubble, a magic circle, in which you have the opportunity to interact with others. It's an opening, a portal to have vibrational changes in your interactions with people, to change vibrational levels, change different energy levels. 5, our modern culture is moving toward isolation. But an important element of a group is demonstrating a safe space that allows free speech, free exchange of ideas. It allows a sharing of self-reflections where one can declare to the world, I am not that, but I can point to that. I am fundamentally and functionally an essential self, not just the baggage I have. And that completes the notes from the meeting from the last time.
Thank you, Pat.
You're welcome.
So the very last point, let's read it again, okay? The last element.
Number 5. Our modern culture is moving toward isolation. But an important element of a group is demonstrating a safe space that allows free speech, free exchange of ideas. It allows a sharing of self-reflections where one can declare to the world, I am not that, but I can point to that I am fundamentally and functionally an essential self, not just the baggage I have.
So I think my understanding of that last point that Pat read for us is that somehow in a, I'll use the word, I'll qualify it, a proper group, that there's a safety net in a sense. There's a safe terminus where you can share stuff that is machine level. And because of the nature of the group, you can share it, and you can say, I'm sharing it for whatever reason, and I am not that.
And when you say that, when you describe that quality of a group, it reminds me that if we were to go through all of the items that have been listed as functions of a group or elements of a group, we would see one of them was intention, one of them was respect, one of them was responsibility. And when you start adding all of these qualities together, in addition to the agreement and the promise of communication, that establishes the safe space that you then can make use of in exactly this specific way, which is it's not a safe space to, to test out your latest sample of your cooking. It is a safe place for you to test out your trust of the other being that is there.
So let's underline what Pat just said. It's a safe place to test your trust mm-hmm. of others, right?
And yourself.
And of course, and then yourself. You're the one that is exercising that.
Yeah.
So, Dan, do we have anybody? Is there anybody online tonight?
Yeah,
11 people, including the individuals here.
Six here.
So, is what you're implying, Pat, that is that the group is a special place where unique and special work can take place?
It is, by definition, an agreed upon, not an accidental, intentional gathering, not just let's go have dinner together. And the purpose of it is for the specified communicated
intention.
Thank you.
We have an intention.
Yeah.
Like in a week and a half on Saturday, you're going to have the third or fourth round of a particular group that gets together
yes.
with the intention to get together
for that
purpose.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
And that is just a one-sentence summary of what that is.
It's the Labyrinth Readers course, which is to help you learn how to do readings for those who are in the stages between death and rebirth.
And rebirth. And so...
But, the thing is, David, what you just said is it is for a specific purpose with a specific intention, and there are agreed upon protocols for when you're there. So that establishes the safety net.
And in previous classes, we have discussed the elements of protocol
yeah,
as well.
Exactly.
Okay, so we can go through these notes in the next
mm-hmm.
3 to 6 months,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and we'll see that there's specific protocols that we've all agreed on that we're all here for that in this particular Wednesday night.
Yeah, at 7 o'clock.
For
yeah.
There's a particular protocol.
This is what we're doing now. This.
Now.
Interesting.
I just want to make sure that everybody understands what Pat is telling us here and this special nature and special opportunity that in an intentional group provides to us. You don't have to say, yeah, I understand it, and here is my understanding. Just, can you say yes? Do you see that there's something unique in the groupness, that there's a unique opportunity for the Voyager? We're Voyagers,
mm-hmm.
right? It makes sense that there's something unique in that space. All of us at the end of this class are going to go off and do stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to, in this moment that we meet together, there's a unique opportunity, all right?
So one more part of that. There is an acknowledgement, not implicit, stated acknowledgement, that our purpose together is not for the benefit of our machine. It is specifically for the benefit of our essential self. And that distinguishes any other criteria for why we might be together.
So Pat must be reading from my notes.
Is that what I did?
Wait a minute. I don't have any notes. Which is exactly the next thing I wanted to share. So for your own sake, if you acknowledge the uniqueness of this, the purpose of this, and other classes like tomorrow with Claude and then
mm-hmm.
yours and Paula and
mm-hmm.
Garrett, they're various. So during, there's like a coming together, and there's a moment when a community forms
mm-hmm.
for those purposes. We come together for that. So what I'd like you to consider doing for your sake, not mine, is type into the log, yes, I do have a sense of the uniqueness that Pat's talking about. Okay? Yes, I see that. And I say it for the very purpose that Pat is eliciting, which is, you say it because you're saying, you're, in a sense, verbalizing your intention.
Mm-hmm.
That yes, I am here for that higher purpose. I am here for the higher purpose. I'm a schmuck most of the time, but for this hour.
Well, there's a word that fits this. It's called affirmation. Most affirmations are done aloud. You think about the Boy Scout creed. Yeah. I promise to do my best to God and country to blah, 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 blah. You know, all groups, if they have a shared purpose, and it's not the kind of thing where I say, you know, there's a group of children in a classroom, that's a group by definition. No, it's not. They don't necessarily have the wherewithal to make the intention to be there for themselves. Their parents put them there.
So important distinction.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So an affirmation makes a declaration of where you stand in relation to the agreed upon protocol and purpose.
And by the way, I'd like to just, it's being lazy, I don't want to write this into the log, but I just want to read the abstract for Chapter 6 of Human Biological Machines, which I think addresses this. The purpose of beginning work is to bring the machine into the waking state and to enable it to function as a transformational apparatus. Transformation is not an aim in itself, but a stepping stone to a whole new way of life which we seek. So when we get together on Wednesday nights as a group, we are actually awakening our machine and facilitating the rising of our essential self, which produces transformation. Hopefully we continue that on our own initiative throughout the week, but in any event, by returning on Wednesday night, we're once again stimulated into a waking state.
We have a chance.
Thank you, Silverdale.
Exactly, Silverdale, and thank you so much for that. So I wanted to take advantage of this unique gathering.
Mm-hmm.
to share something that occurred with me in the last week. All right? So one of the kind of the external part of it is that my computer, I have a laptop computer that it forms the fundamental basis of my office, where I do significant calculations and do everything that I do, all right? The fan went out on it. And it disabled the computer, and I had to shut it down for about 3 days.
Ooh.
And without a computer for 3 days. And it really offered me a very unique picture of myself in a certain way, and I am a little bit exaggerating. I was wandering around the house. What am I going to do now? I wandered to where I'd normally sit with the computer, knowing that it was down and that I couldn't turn it on. I'd wander over there. And so that was one thing. It's like you change something fundamental like that, and it gives you a viewpoint of your machine in a very stark manner. We don't often have those opportunities, nor do we take them, to change something fundamental, like where you live, or change your whole house around,
mm-hmm.
or any of those things. We don't do that. So in a certain way, kind of I had a heightened awareness during these times.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had two unique business opportunities where I was consulting clients. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Two different clients, two different meetings. And then something very unique happened. In both cases, I came up with some extraordinary solutions to business problems. It was really good. And for the first time in a long time, I wasn't so tied to the external approval of that act. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I did a really good job, okay?
Yeah.
One of which is going to probably save the client $300,000.
Oh. Good boy. Good.
And it was very, very insightful. And I know for a fact that most CPAs or attorneys would not have seen this little creativity. The client got it and was very appreciative of so, of course, and said so that they were appreciative. And then when I was done, I felt an emptiness. It was very interesting. I thought, wow, why do I feel this feeling of being alone at that moment?
Mm-hmm.
Now, and part of it is I realize there's probably very few people that would get what I was saying.
Exactly. You wouldn't be able to share it in the way that would make it meaningful for you to get their feedback about it.
Yeah, even if they said, oh, wow, that's great, you saved all that money, like Pat just...
Yeah, I was being sarcastic. Good boy.
She's saying, well, you know, that is the way that the world would view it, but there's this other element of high knowledge that came to bear.
And experience.
And high experience and creativity. And I realized, I wasn't quite as hungry for that external affirmation. That was very different. Because most of my life, 67 years old. Most of my life, I have fed at that table,
mm-hmm.
seeking for others to tell me, how you doing?
Sure.
And so because of this unique set of circumstances that I was in a certain way, that wasn't there.
Yeah, no, it couldn't.
Right? So therefore, I was thrown back. And I would say that it really started to make me think about the difference between loneliness and aloneness. Okay? And that was the preamble, apparently, to the two chapters that we're about to read. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to share this with the class, the group.
Yeah.
Because I feel a safe space.
Exactly.
Okay?
Yeah.
When you said that, I got the hit of one of the chambers of the ABD.
There you go.
Because, and actually it's more than one chamber, because it's often repeated that you're all alone and it's total emptiness, but that's because you're recognizing that you are the luminescent nature of the voidness of the void. In a way, to me, I just felt like that space descended, and you were experiencing it as...
directly.
Yeah, being alone. And it wasn't just, it was just, it's different than loneliness. It's being alone.
So the aloneness is, it's a chapter we can't, if we can face this part of ourselves, you can't eliminate it. You can't eliminate it. Now, is Brisa, is? Okay, good. So on Sunday night, Pat has been involved with some significant family matters. And so she wasn't there on the Patty show Sunday night. And Brisa filled in, and then Michelle helped a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Paula. And... During the event, during that thing, I often log in.
Yeah.
If I feel my computer, I actually logged in on my phone this time. I don't know if she remembers or not, but she read from chapter 8 in the page 70. So this is page 2 of chapter 8. Okay.
Yeah.
And she read it. Actually, she read from the beginning of the chapter, but I'm only going to read.
The
name of the chapter is "How I Changed the Inevitable." Okay.
Yeah.
And I'll read the header of that, because in these particular books, EJ puts that: evolution is no escape from death. Eventually, we will be annihilated in the face of God. All things come from the Absolute, and to Him must inevitably
return.
So I'm going to read two fairly short paragraphs. Page 70, second paragraph. As far as the Absolute is concerned, it has no choice. It is the Absolute and will always be the Absolute. We, on the other hand, do have a choice. We can choose to work, or we can be used for the necessities of the Absolute involuntarily at the moment of organic death, thereby fulfilling only minimally what is required of us. Every invocation of the Absolute carries with it, however slight, a definite evolutionary side effect, produced, here it is, by the radiations upon our being. I'll give that to you again. Every invocation of the Absolute carries with it, however slight, a definite evolutionary side effect produced by the radiations upon our being. Next sentence. This evolutionary effect will one day bring us to our annihilation. In a sense, to invoke often is to die before you die. End of paragraph. So, chapter 60. Page 150 of the Secret Talks, Volume 5, Work of Verse, to be alive. Thousands of hours of consciousness in order to have being, to really be alive. Participate voluntarily with the presence in life, especially through the same ordinary routine day after day. Life after life. It is not what we do, but how. In what state of consciousness, voluntary mood, will of unity, and for what aim, we engage in ordinary and extraordinary activities of life.
Daily ponder. What happens if we do not succeed in attention of presence? How much exposure essence requires for the formation of higher bodies?
Either one of you keep going, or both.
Is consciousness worthwhile to us? Do we really want it? Why? If it is really important to us, we can arouse the will to work on ourselves.
For a real candidate, work on self must be not only necessary, but possible.
So if we read this in conjunction with the hidden work and these other stories that are filtering through, that I am just one of the persons sharing these stories, there are other stories, we can see that in a certain way, and then Silverdale, here's a tough question. For me, when I exercise the effort toward invocation, and as it says, invoking often, or in this case, in this chapter, it says thousands of hours of consciousness creating presence, it seems like on the one hand, we've talked about that the essential self is given life when we do that particular thing. Is there, I have a reason for it, is there a divine help too? Do we call down on does the higher come forth in a sense to join us for brief moments?
You know, actually, our manifestation as a machine is happening simultaneously and incessantly together with the manifestation of our essential self. These are two forces that are functioning simultaneously and incessantly. The problem we start off with is that because we're so anchored in the attention of our mechanical nature, because we're so anchored there, we never are aware that this essential self is functioning as well. And so a lot of our efforts are directed towards shifting the center of our gravity first to an awareness that, such a possibility really exists, and then to begin to sense that essential self and feel that essential self. And so the whole practice that EJ brilliantly came up with, invocation of presence, is really nothing more than a, hey, can you simultaneously be aware of your essential self functioning as well in the midst of everything that your mechanical self is doing? And this really gets back to the paragraph that you just read from The Hidden Work. Every invocation of the Absolute, that is every time we invoke our presence, which is the Absolute within us, carries with it, however slight, a definite evolutionary side effect. And what this actually is the experience of the consciousness of our essential self. And so when we go over here to chapter 60, thousands of hours of consciousness in order to have being, all this means is we have to continually attempt to invoke our presence, that is, be aware of our essential self as a equal but opposite event occurring simultaneously and incessantly together with what we're experiencing as ordinary life. That's how I read this stuff.
I have a point of view about this, which is part autobiographical, part research-based, and part faith. And that is the word baraka, or grace. And my understanding of that word is mostly from not just the fourth way tradition, but the Sufi tradition, because I spent time with the teachings of Rashad Field and others who are from that tradition. And the word baraka is a commonly stated principle in the cultures of those lands, that there, but for the grace of God, go I, is the expression we have in the English language, specifically the Catholic orientation. My understanding of it from a personal point of view has to do with what some people would call fate. I call it the interaction of our being in the presence of the Absolute without time or space as impinging on our ordinary life. Because frequently it will feel like a burden. And the word grace or baraka implies, in our language, something pleasant or wished for. And I believe it has more to do with the fact that there is impact, that of your own mechanical nature could not possibly be felt or experienced or appreciated, but because you also have the quality-ness of the essential self, which is the part of the Absolute that has manifested in that form, the experience of grace or baraka is one that reminds you of your essential self if you happen to have forgotten it, or if you're fortunate enough to have been in an awakened state at some point. It is potentially something that is a little bit of a boost, an energetic, I don't know what you would call that. You call it when you get lift off. You know, that. You get, yeah, something like that. Not
levity?
Yeah, one of those things. So I believe that in answering your question, David, that is the response that I have to that question, which is, there is an element that we don't address specifically because it has more to do with what is the internal relationship, as Silverdale is describing, between the manifestation of the human biological machine and the manifestation of the essential self. And how does that play out? And that is a long, long drama. And
thousands of hours.
At least.
Thousands and thousands of hours.
At least.
Is
that where you were?
Well, where I was going was this whole idea of Baraka or mm-hmm. grace, mm-hmm. and that grace is meted out to those that enter upon the path. When you try, the universe answers you. It's like it's waiting for some source. It's almost as if the Absolute is waiting for a methodology to express itself through someone. So be awake, be awakened. And then it doesn't necessarily mean it is pleasant.
No.
It is. That's why I had this story about my aloneness. Because I believe it was not pleasant.
Right.
Wasn't a pleasant feeling, and I don't know no way around that. And our work, this uniqueness of community that we create when we come together, is startling. But ultimately, our work is on our own, too.
Well, there is a resonance factor. When you are vibrating in resonance with others, for the same purpose and intention, you create something which in music they call overtone or harmonic.
There you go. That's
and
it.
There is that is a multiplier mm-hmm. effect.
That's a good explanation,
know?
Right there.
And that just kind of that's not necessarily something that you count on, but if you rely on constantly addressing the question. Whatever you said, and you give a little space, not quite an answer, then you can pay attention to that.
So, then let's go to chapter 61, which I think answers the next part of this. And in chapter 61, I guess we can go ahead and quickly read
sure.
it.
Sure.
Let's go ahead and quickly read it. Go ahead, you two. Go ahead and read it.
Chapter 61. Mr. God, G gave us a long harangue about all the things we were doing wrong. Things were being broken and lost. Children were upset because of adult negligence. Very dangerous forgetfulness was occurring. For example, A put hot ashes in a paper bag.
G said that a lot of our accidents are caused by self-love of our inner Mr. God, the psyche trying to protect itself. It is a fight for survival in the form of unconscious accidents, blunders, and oversights in opposition to our intention to be here and to work. He said that some of us were digging ourselves out, but that a few were sinking deeper. Even when told, they did not listen. What could be done with them?
People avoid practical work. They find distracting, personally attractive things to do. we should put those things aside when it is time to take new data with our moving and feeling centers.
And I'll continue. final paragraph, page 152. Life passes more and more quickly as we grow older. We must use it while we are still able. We must be alive and present now. Clark Kent, an ordinary man, becomes Superman when he must do something. This is an esoteric teaching about attaining a special second wind state. Do not think a miracle will happen someday. Value life as an opportunity for work. Although our organic bodies will be reconstituted and born again, born as what?
Mm-hmm.
So, who could actually appreciate Superman? They can appreciate maybe the external things that Superman does, but they don't know where he lives.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, in that space, when Clark Kent becomes Superman, he is in aloneness,
mm-hmm.
doing the task that arises because he is Superman. So we're in combat all the time with our Mr. God. And we'll see dramas all the time when people think that what they're doing is so important and their attitudes are so important, and they don't understand at those moments that it's their Mr. God that is dominating the space, when they can go to this other place. The Superman with great fluidity and movement. And power. So I think that we can find the ways and means throughout the day to get to this part. I guess what I realized during this last week of self-reflection is I realized how afraid I am of this aloneness.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very afraid of it. Yeah, please. Thank you.
So, from before, Beza says, yes, I see it. Auntie Matter says, yes, and it is a rare opportunity. So that was here.
The uniqueness
mm-hmm.
of groupness.
And Bernie LaPlante says, group, surely not for mutual comfort, amusement, self-help, or socialization, probably for development, thinking of ego, evolution, whatever all that may mean. Pianjo says, we are here to move our center of gravity to our essential self.
Perfect.
Our group energy expedites this process. And then Beza is responding to, I think, Patricia. Yes, I do. Your email that morning reminded me. Is this any better?
Actually, you're not on the phone. Are you off?
I'm on the phone.
Oh, now I'm
now you are.
Garaki says, slightly non-related, but there is a movie called Baraka that is stunningly, breathtakingly wonderful.
Yes.
Nice movie. Good
David, I'd just like to say that I don't know if it's, I feel a connection between these points you're making you know, regarding the group to start with, and then this idea of the grace, let's say that's possible. I mean, I feel like I really appreciate that we, that for this hour, you know, for this group activity, I feel like I get to back off of that Mr. God, you know, to back off of the mechanicalness, the historical personality. And I mean, just to sit here, whether I even participate or not, it is moving towards that, I think, towards the essential, the essential self, you know, the more essential. And then, you know, what I got out of what Pat was saying to address your question about the grace and so on, it feels to me like there's something that's available to us all the time. You know, the being, as my understanding, again, of at least part of EJ's teaching, is that the being is always present and the being is always awake. And it's just like my buffers. Yeah, well, my trying to remember that word that Claudio Naranjo uses, the obscuration, you know, the obscuration, the separation, the isolation that we're talking about is on my part. Like, I'm experiencing the isolation. But, you know, there are times, this group is great for this, I feel, because we're doing this deliberately. But, you know, there are times, again, thinking about this, you know, thousands of hours of consciousness, I can think of times when I have not spoken or thought or intellectualized or something about, but actually experience that there's this light, you know, that there's this radiation or light that's coming through, you know, that's available, that's around us. And it's just, and that's, to me, maybe it's with a foot in the two worlds kind of experience, but it's an essential, it's a awakening or an essential self perception, I think, or sensation, that there's this shell, you know, there's this personality, or there's this character, or this ordinariness, or whatever it is, that's blocking that light, you know, that's blocking the radiation, or the vibrational change, or whatever. I mean, there are times when I've experienced it as this kind of like this struggle, you know, between scales, you know, that the scales are, something's trying to go up, you know, up to a higher vibration, and I'm either, you know, I'm either resisting it or I'm occluding it. That's the word I was looking for. I'm creating an occlusion. But it's, I think that this, again, with the group activity, I think the group is one. It's, you know, it's terrific that the group is an invitation. The group activity is an opportunity to look at all of these things. But also to have a retreat or a vacation from the isolation, and from the just being the personality, or just being the mechanicalness. Anyway,
the machine.
I didn't exactly get what I wanted to, but
we're talking about that. But the machine experienced loneliness and seeks out group affirmation, you know, so you join the archery group, because everybody, or the one that gets me all the time is those old cars that every, you know, pen thousands and thousands.
They do
of,
rallying.
They make these old, like a 56 Chevy, and they restore it, and they get together and they walk around and they go, oh yeah, So that's like, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about we come together as colleagues. A different thing. We're collegial. And we know that we're going to go back out on our own and suffer in a, quote unquote, this aloneness. I'll never forget Robert Trice, our friend, many, many years ago when he was just starting to, he had just decided to start learning the harmonica many years ago, and we met at the Flower Garden in Grass Valley. We often would meet for coffee or whenever we had a chance. And I was a little late. I got in there, and he had open before him was this book on music theory. This was 10 years ago, where he was starting to learn. So he had put in some heavy lifting on his own. Now when you hear him play, there's a simple fluidity about it, how he plays, and he knows. So it's he did the workout, and we can do the workout. And so that's what we can bring to our group work together is our workout during the week, you know, our exercises.
I think there's another element here. I think Dan probably read somebody's comments that brought it to mind, which was the use of the words group energy. Group energy is not the same thing as group attention or group intention or group aim or purpose or group protocol. It has to do with this thousands of hours that we're referring to here, where you have applied yourself to the practice of invoking the presence of your present into the present for the purpose of whatever you're putting in there. And that energy, and if you think about how we experience energy, just on a simple level, we've got lights on in this studio, and that is a transformed, what, five times over, form of coal that came from sun. It came through atmosphere. You know what I'm saying? You can do this tracing of energy, but the result of the shared group energy is by far something that is a greater reservoir that you could possibly ever tap on your own, and it doesn't have a limit to it. That's the other thing about this, is that group energy is a sustaining. It doesn't run out. What runs out is your individual effort, the individual practice that we bring to it. But when we put that into the pot and we share that as a group energy, that actually sustains and contributes multifold back, so that you actually continue to run. Now, here's a perfect example of this thing. All of you know that I had cancer, and it was stage four, and I had chemo and radiation, and, you know, it takes your immune system down. So you don't have the reservoir of warding off germs and bugs and such, okay? You got to be careful. You know, you feel a little bit sick, then you got to go rest and, you know, bring your level of activity way down so you keep the machine alive. That was almost 12 years ago. The group requirements of producing this activity that David runs on Wednesday nights, the activities that we do in the Labyrinth Reader's course now every 2 weeks, the activities that go on and on and on here, these are sustaining group activities. Now, I'm looking at our camera person here who also sets up our space, who also manages to scribe, who also does all these things. And I know that her individual form would not be running at this level if the group energy was not there to provide the forum for her to draw on it. So energy as a component is one of those qualities that you can't actually discuss too much, because you really need to just make your efforts, like David is saying, through the week. But what happens when we come together is the group energy of its own is extended to the group. You don't have to do anything to make that happen. It happens because it's a group.
Go ahead, Dan.
Anything else? Are you done?
So I think that when you go out into the world and you've put in these thousands of hours of consciousness, this invocation of presence, part of it is to notice when you become the Superman, the Ubermensch. And when you become that, it's like, what are you to do at that moment? You're in a unique position.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to face the aloneness of it. And maybe that's okay. Maybe that's okay. Even though, even at that moment of aloneness, you know that you can be alone for eternity. Or maybe you realize that on Wednesday night, you might be able to get back and see somebody. Oh, gosh.
Alone for an eternity until next Wednesday night.
That's right.
Auntie Matter says, perfect topic for All Saints Day.
Yeah, it is All Saints Day.
Really, you got to get into the spirit of the thing.
And I think this topic, one of the things that's opened for me in this last week, though, is this idea of grace.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to chase that down more. I don't know what's going to happen in the next few chapters,
mm-hmm.
but I'm always astonished at how...
how it feeds what you're wondering about.
Boom.
Yeah.
You know, and there it is.
I know, that just, yeah.
I'm afraid to open the next chapter.
Yes, because it's going to answer that question, or it is going to draw up the next question, one or the other. Any other commentaries or questions or answers from anybody? Yes, good. We have someone in our television audience. What? One moment. Go ahead.
One of you.
Are you on?
Not yet.
You are.
Okay.
You are.
I was just going to say, I think part of that group energy concept relates to necessity, because the group gives necessity, it confers necessity to people that are committed to the purpose of the group and the group, so that you're borrowing on necessity of a larger group to be able to do what you do.
Okay, good.
Brisa says, what can you lose when there is nothing to lose?
Yeah, that's a tough one. Because, go ahead.
Well, even though it's sort of joking, I'm going to read it because it's appropriate. I just said, Auntie, can I start with just some saints? Because all seems like a lot to start off with. And she just... took back and said, one for all and all for one.
The reason it's so hard is because we believe we have something to lose. And that's what the Mr. God concept is. But that's in us. And we can't imagine giving that up.
Mm-hmm.
But every once in a while, you're able to stand aside and you see a different vista. And at that moment, it can be quieted for a while. On that tone, so thank you so much for coming this evening, and we'll look forward to seeing you next Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Good night.
Thank you all.